today I'm speaking on the subject fasting and prayer. John Boehner said something about prayer. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such thing as God has promised. That's what John Boehner said. There is a place for fasting. There is a place for everything, and there is a place for fasting. Today, I'm going to take my time to talk to us about the subject fasting, because in this modern day, in many churches, the subject of fasting has been pushed to the side. In our own personal lives, most Christians don't take on fasting. Most Christians do not know about fasting. Most Christians do not know the need for fasting. Some literally see it as an Old Testament thing to do. Some see it as an old church thing to do. We are now in the modern day and we do not need to fast. But I'm going to take you through a series of a journey. Please get notebooks and get pens and pencils, because there's going to be a lot of scriptural references. Like I said, we're going to do a study, and I'm going to try and stick very close to my notes here. Yeah, I will try not to preach, and I will try to stick in time, because I tell you, I have a lot of material here. As you can tell, prayer is very dear to my heart, and I have a lot of material for us to look through. So before we go any further, let's open our Bibles, please, to Joel chapter 1. 13 to 14. Joel chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Joel chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. And the writer says, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priest, will you who minister before the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloths, you who minister to God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." Listen to the verse 14. "Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders, and call the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." Consecrate a fast. Consecrate a fast. Call an assembly. This is in the Old Testament, and God is telling his people to call a time of fasting, to consecrate themselves, to come before God in weeping and wailing, seeking his face. Seeking his face. You see, the word of God says, there is a wise actually saying that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer, but that lies outside the will of God. God can do anything. God can do anything on this earth which is within his will. He is God, he is ultimate, he is all powerful. He can do anything. And when the children of God can understand that they serve a powerful God and an ultimate God, and there comes a time when they go before him with earnest heart, he who is God, he hears them and he speaks in their matter. He listens to them. He listens to them. He listens to them. You see, when it comes to true biblical praying, it's not the amount of words that you say. It is not the eloquency of your speech. It is not the length of your speech. It is not how beautiful you look or how nice you smell or your race or your background. It doesn't matter your culture when it comes to prayer. What is important is that you have the right heart before God. What is important is that you have faith and you believe that the God that you are calling upon exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so there are two major things in prayer when it comes to prayer: the earnestness of your heart and the faith of your heart. You have faith and you're willing. You have faith and you're willing to come. That is what is important. That is what is important. As I read already, we have looked at Joel. Joel chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. But I want us to come again to Joel chapter 2, verse 19 to 13. Sorry, verse 12 to 13. Joel chapter 2, 12 to 13. It says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Render your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." What this passage is saying is, when the people of God go to God, or whoever you are, you go to him, you render your heart, you submit yourself, you come in earnest totality in seeking him, God, he says that he relents from bringing calamity. Our world is in, people always say, "Oh, we are okay. Oh, we are all right." But the judgment of God is always coming at us. We are always being judged by God. And there are times when calamities happen, discipline and actions come our way because of our disobedience to God. The whole Bible tells us about how disobedience will not end the disobedient child's life right. And when we as children of God can go to God and weep and call on him and really seek his face, he relents from his judgments. When the Bible says relent, it basically means that God forgives and he decides to forgive and to forget. God forgives and he forgets. And so it's important that the child of God of today understands that even in the Old Testament, Scripture teaches us that God expected us to fast and pray. The Old Testament teaches us that God expects us to fast and pray. Those scriptures and many, many others that we are going to look at deal with the subject of fasting and prayer. Let us now, as I've looked at in the Old Testament, scriptures that are telling us that the Lord called for a fast. Now let us look at the New Testament, what our Lord Jesus says about fasting. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6. Oh, the book that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus took some time to really teach on fasting. Like I said before, some people look at fasting and they say, "Oh, it's an Old Testament thing." Others say, oh, fasting is the old time thing. We are now in modern day. Most Christians do not even understand that we need to fast and pray. But Matthew chapter 6 verse 16 say, moreover, when you fast, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, moreover, when you fast. Observe the language that our Lord Jesus is using here. He's not saying if you fast, or when, or desirably when you fast. No, he says when you fast, which means that it is a thing expected of him to happen. If you go through this passage really well, the Lord, let me take some time to talk a little bit. Let me take you back. When you look at the chapter 6 verse 2, God calls us, the Lord took some time to talk about giving. And it is good to give gifts and to give money and to give to the poor. The Lord teaches this. Again, when you look at the verse 5, he teaches us to pray. And it is good for the child of God to pray. That's why part of our vision, part of our mission statement here is a house of prayer. We believe in prayer. And most of us appreciate prayer. In America, we love to pray. Oh, thank you that you pray for me. I like it when people come around and they pray for me. Prayer is good. We are always asking God for something and telling him about something. And then he says in the Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? When you fast. So, the Lord Jesus is teaching us to give to the poor. He's teaching us to also pray. It's good to pray. He's also telling us that it is good to fast. And so, to the Lord Jesus, it is important to give to the poor. It is important to pray. And it is likewise, it is important to fast. The Lord Jesus is not making these two more important than fasting. But today in the church, leaders and pastors and the whole world, and even Christians, most Christians focus on the need to give. Oh, I've gone to churches where everything is about giving. Give your life, give your children, give your life, give everything. Some churches even teach encourage their children to go to keyboard lessons, instrumental lessons. Everything is about what we can give, which is good. The Bible teaches us to give everything. I know some churches where even people were told to sell their homes and give the money to the church. In this modern day, people love to pray. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. We like to tell God everything we need, we want. But we don't talk about fasting anymore. We don't talk about fasting. Sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, why are we where we are? Why is America in the state that it is? Why is my life the way it is? Am I being obedient to the totality of the word of God? Or I am choosing aspects of it that looks and feels good to me? Children of God, the Lord Jesus, the word of God, teaches us to take fasting seriously, just as we take asking, just as we appreciate prayer seriously. You see, fasting, so then, comes to the point of what is fasting? What is fasting? What is fasting? If Jesus is teaching it, if the whole Bible from Old Testament is teaching it, and if Jesus is expecting us to do it, just as he expects us to pray. Some people say, oh, fasting is prayer. Yes, the two go together, fasting and prayer. And so what is fasting? You see, the simplest meaning for fasting is this. Going without food or drink or certain pleasures for the purpose of seeking God, for a time of spiritual seeking after God. Now, fasting is not mere dieting. Some people, when we want to lose some weight, we say, oh, I'm fasting. It is good to fast and lose some weight. It's good. Some of us, we eat everything. Then sometimes it's good to fast. And the kind of fast that you go on for medical reasons, when you have some surgery or operation or some thing to be done in the hospital, your doctor will tell you stop eating for a while, or sometimes your doctor will tell you stop eating a certain kind of food. That is not the kind of fast that we are talking about here. All that is good. Obey your doctor's instructions when your doctor tells you, work with your doctor. Because God can heal you through your doctor. There is a place for medicine, and there is a place also for spiritual divine touch. At the end of the day, what is important is you get healed. Yeah? If the miracle will come through a doctor, why not? Yeah? I need my healing, you need your healing, regardless. If Jesus chooses to do it through your doctor, it is not your doctor that healed you. It is Master Jesus that did it. And so the point here is, you see, it is good. But that is not the kind of fasting we are talking about. When a Christian or when a child of God begins to sit down and say, I want to embark on a spiritual fast, it means literally taking some time out of eating food, out of the regular merries that you have, the regular pleasures that you have, and so that you can really begin to focus on God and really bend down your heart in seeking Him. That is what it means by fasting. Biblical fasting is for spiritual purpose. It is not for any other purpose but for spiritual purpose. And so, what is the motive that we need to have? Now, what is the motive for fasting? Why should we fast? What is the motive for fasting? Why should we fast? Matthew chapter 6 again teaches us to fast. And if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18, please come with me. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Let's listen to what Jesus says. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, when they have their reward, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Will reward you openly. And so, what is the motive here to fast? You see, what kind of motive should you have when you're fasting? It shouldn't be to prove that you are also some spiritual guru. It shouldn't also be that you also want to prove to others that you have a deep connection with God. It shouldn't be that you want to do it for people to see that you are also fasting. I am not asking you to come on a journey of fasting because we also want to prove to other churches that we can fast. We are also spiritual. No. That shouldn't be the motive of a child of God that fasts. Our motive should be that we really want to seek God's face. We really, as Jesus says, we just want to have a very deep connective time with God. He is our Father, and it has to be that, look, we need you, and we will put aside everything to seek you. That is why we fast. That is why we fast. And so let us take some time to look at what we can avoid when we are fasting. There are five major things that I want us to look at here when we fast. When we fast. The first one is avoid exhibition. Like I said, avoid exhibition. And we've looked at the motive already. Nothing is wrong with letting people know that you are fasting. Nothing is wrong with letting people know that you are praying. Nothing is wrong with letting people know that you give. There's nothing wrong about these things. But we do not pray, we do not fast, we do not serve God to be seen of men. Avoid being an exhibitionist. Hey, I also pray. Hey, I also fast. Hey. No. Hey, Pastor Barnes love to pray, and I want to prove to him that me too, I pray. Hello? No. It's not an exhibition. It's not an exhibition. Like we saw how these people, when they are fasting, they will let their face go dry. They will not even cream themselves. They want to let everybody know that they are fasting. And there are some Christians like that. I have met Christians when they are fasting. I'm fasting. There is a place for letting people know you fast. There's nothing wrong letting people. Like, for instance, you came to my house, and I'm sure when you come to my house, I will push some food down your throat. And so when you come, knowing that I understand spiritual things, you shouldn't be sitting there and be avoiding everything. As a matter of fact, in some cultures, it's offensive to go to someone's house and not take food or not take even the water they give you. I remember when I was growing up in UK and I was a seniors pastor. My responsibility as a pastor was in charge of the seniors ministry. And I was such a good senior minister, even though I was a young boy. Every time I went to visit them, what they would do first, hello, crazy, would you like some tea or coffee? Most of them didn't offer coffee. It was mainly tea. But they would say tea and cookie. Tea and cookie. But I knew and I understood quickly that it was part of the British culture when you get home to be offered tea. And that, for a senior, a very elderly person at home to offer you that, it is the best they can give you. So I would not say no. And so in a day when I was doing about 3 or 4 visits, I would not have my lunch. And I would just be visiting seniors and be drinking tea and coffee, tea and cookie. And I'll have my lunch. But you see what I'm trying to say. So imagine when I'm fasting and I go to a senior's house and she's like, hey, Kwesi, would you like some tea? My first thing is, thank you so much, Mariam. I will love your tea, but unfortunately today I'm fasting. I had to let her know. Other than that, Kwesi came to, you know, she would call my senior pastor. Kwesi came to my house and he turned down my tea and that and that they feel so bad about themselves. They feel like you've done they've done something wrong to you. And so it's nice to say to people sometimes, oh, I'm fasting. Not to show off, but just to let them know why you would not be taking their offer or going to certain places with them or whatever. So that helps in not being exhibitionist. The second point I want to look at is avoid being legalistic about it. Don't get the idea that because I am fasting, then God is indebted to me somehow to bless me. Or, other hand, to think that God is some wicked God that you have to bend his hand by fasting. No. That is not why we fast. Avoid legalism. Fasting lays hold of God's grace. But remember, you cannot buy a blessing. You can't buy a blessing. So when you're going to God, you are going because you need him in your life. And this God, who knows that which is good for you, when you come near to him with the right heart, he who is God, he also tends to be favorable to you. He tends to be favorable. Don't be ritualistic about it. You can fast as a ritual. The Pharisees did it. They did it. And yet, fasted as a ritual. Without a doubt, it is because of exhibitionist and legalist that ritualism will come right on the heels of those two things. When you are an exhibitionist and then you become a ritualistic, the next thing you become is what? Don't become an ascetic person about it. Because I'm fasting, everybody must fast. These ones, they are not holy. They don't know God like I know God. Hello? Asceticism. So what is asceticism? That is just simply turning ourselves into a religious recluse or a pious monk. We just become a pious monk. I'm fasting. Nobody should talk to me. Even your child can't say, hello, daddy. I'm fasting. You enter home and your wife is, oh, daddy's fasting. Don't talk. Nobody should disturb. Daddy is on a deep journey with God. Because you're fasting, you go to work. And suddenly your attitude, your behavior and everything with your colleagues has changed. Don't disturb me. I'm having a deep time with my God. You have become a religious monk. Even when you're walking now, you have a special walk that you have. And then suddenly your prayer changes. Oh Lord, thou wife, you know, hello. Don't become a religious monk. Avoid that. And then the last thing. You know what? On that, let me touch it a bit. Jesus was a very down-to-earth person. Did you know that? To the point that even children wanted to come to Jesus and sit on his lap. Why are we Christians and we are not approachable? And then the moment you are fasting, you rather become this person that shouldn't be approached at all. Jesus was a very likable person. Jesus went to his cousin's wedding and he turned water into wine for them to drink there. The guy is deep. He saw disgrace coming to his cousin. Think of it. Oh, my cousins. And the guy literally said to his mom, it is not my time yet. But he couldn't sit to see the shame coming. And so he had to do something to help his brother out, his cousin out. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus was sitting with the poor and having fun. And he would, the people came to him. Why doesn't your disciples do this? Why don't you? No. Jesus was a down to earth person. Be down to earth. The fact that you're fasting. And as a matter of fact, God will use you to be a blessing even in the moments of your fasting when you are down to earth. You see, obviously you are seeking God's face. It's not the time when you go and sit down and start to talk about politics and begin to play and all do all sorts of crazy things and then you come and say you are fasting. No. But don't become a religious pious person. Okay? And also the last thing is this. Avoid egotism. Many of us, because we fast, we are so... Do you remember? Do you see the person in Luke? Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 12. Please. You remember the story that Jesus said in Luke? The rich and the poor guy. The rich guy came, knelt down, and he began to weep and cry, "Oh Lord, I'm poor." And he was beating his heart. He couldn't even use words to describe himself. This morning, as you walked in here, and some of us were kneeling on the ground and kneeling on the floor, some of us were weeping and crying and shouting out to God. Can you imagine if you entered in here and you felt that you were better than everyone? And that was what this guy did. He came to God, and look at the verse 12. He says, he prayed thus with himself, "God, I fast twice in the week." Because we are going to start a 7-day fast, doesn't mean you are better than anybody. "I give tithe of all that I possess." What a good boy, he's saying to myself, I am. What a good person I am that I give and I do all these things. But you know what? Before God, you are wasting your time. Don't become egotistic. Don't become arrogant. And don't become proud about what you are doing. It is a time to lay down your heart. It is a time to seek God's face. And listen, speak unto all the people. Let's come to Isaiah. Isaiah 7, verse 5. Look at what Isaiah 7, verse 5. I told you today there will be a lot of scripture writings. Eh? We are not done yet. There is more to come. Please go to Isaiah 7, verse 5. God is making an argument. He's literally complaining about the people. And listen to what God says in Zechariah. Zechariah 7, verse 5. He says, did I say Isaiah, right? Sorry about that. Zechariah. I apologize, please. Thank you so much. Zechariah 7, verse 5. These people thought they were living for God and doing their own thing. But listen to what God says. "Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priest, saying, when you fast and mourned in the fifth and the seventh month, even those 70 years, did you at all fast unto me?" Even to me? These people were fasting. But yet still, God wasn't accepting it. It wasn't reaching God because they weren't doing it with the right heart. Children of God, do not become egotistic about it. So, what is the purpose of fasting? What is the purpose of fasting? In simple, it is to seek God's face. It is to seek God's face. So, in this case, I've talked about the meaning, and I've talked about the motive for fasting. Let us now look at the ministry of fasting. What actually happens when you fast? What actually happens when you fast? I want to take my time to take us through scripture and take us through a few things that happen when we fast. So let's look at the ministry of fasting. The one thing that fasting will do is it will strengthen your prayer life. It will strengthen your prayer life. Look at Ezra. Ezra chapter 21. Oh, sorry. Ezra chapter 8, 21 to 23, please. Ezra chapter 8, 21 to 23. Then, so let me give you a little background here. Ezra had gone to the priest, the king, and had gone to brag that they serve God. They were being released to go, and the king wanted to give them an army to go with them. Oh, Ezra bragged. He spoke too quick, and he said, hey, our God will take care of us. Our God will take care of us, and he will take us to our land. So now, after Ezra had gone to brag, he realized that, hold on, we need to call on this God. So look at what Ezra did. He said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our and for all our substances, for I was ashamed to inquire of the king. A band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them. For God that seek him, but his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this. And he was entreated of us. The entreated there means he heard us, he answered us. And I'm saying that fasting helps our prayer. Fasting helps our prayer. Fasting helps our prayer life. It helps you to grow in prayer. For some reason, when you decide to really seek God's face by putting aside everything so you can focus on him, heaven also stops to listen to you. And in this case, it's exactly what happened here. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Return to me with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And then when you come to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, half-hearted religion doesn't work with God. If you are with God, if you are for God, then you be fully for God. You be fully for God. And in seeking God too, you seek him with your heart, earnestly, truthfully, from your heart. And while you do this in your prayer, it say the word of God makes us understand. It makes God also stop to pay attention to you. It's like us humans. If I want something from you and I'm not serious about it, are you going to be serious with me? If I came to you, I'm asking you for something, but and I walked off, would you take me to be serious? This calling for a week of fasting, if it didn't matter to me to be serious with you, I wouldn't be standing here talking about the subject of fasting and prayer. I wouldn't be looking at what scripture says about fasting. I wanted to come to you clearly that it is important for me as your pastor to encourage you to begin and embark on this relationship with the Lord. It is serious. It is serious. And now look at Jeremiah 29, verse 14. Jeremiah 29, verse 14 says, "And I will be found." You remember the passage I read before, the 29:13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." The 14 says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away into captivity." God says, when you come to me, Jeremiah, you and the people, when you come and fast and pray and all of your heart, you will be heard. And it's the same to you and I today. If we come to God and we pray and we call on him with the right heart, we will be heard. Be convinced in your prayer. Be convinced in your fasting. I'm going to leave it here. And next week, I will touch on the rest of this subject. Like I said to you, fasting and prayer is something that is very dear to my heart. I have taken some time to break it down for you. So next week, we will look from the ministry of fasting. Prepare yourself. Begin to prepare yourself to seek God's face. You don't even have to wait for Sunday to come. Just avail yourself. Begin to prepare yourself. Let us pray. It's my prayer that as you leave from here today, you begin to really search yourself. You begin to ask yourself what your Christian life is like, how your Christian life is, and begin to incorporate fasting into your prayer. Let us pray in Jesus' name.